Welcome to Behind the Great Wall on the SOH Network. I'm Daniel Tang. The China we know today is a leading world power, but behind its influence, behind its wealth, and behind its political power stands the Chinese people, who in modern times face a range of social, political, and economic issues. On Behind the Great Wall, our team of SOH reporters in China brings you their voices and their stories. In this episode, livestock in China being fed far too much antibiotics. And we follow the story of petitioners kidnapped on New Year's Day. But first, a recent study has revealed teaching staff in Chinese universities are overworked and underpaid. Much of the pressure comes from enormous workloads and the politicking that goes on in many institutes. Gu Haiping, a professor of economics at Renmin University in China, says red tape in higher education is stifling research and development and the career progression of many talented academics. Craig Richter with this first story.
The study called the Academic Career Global Corporation, China Study, claims educators in universities are burdened with administration work, which interferes with research and teaching. There's also added pressure with student assessment results, which can determine how much funding, prestige, and resources a department is allocated. Professor Gu believes the red tape has robbed them of their rights. We are basically running the university the same way as a factory. University presidents complain about their limited power as the government controls everything. But the administration also has too much power over important decisions, like whether the president should be in charge of heading academic affairs. Now the presidents are in charge of everything, and the rights of teachers do not exist. With no power of their own, their rights are infringed upon constantly. Even if the teachers are allocated some power, there is no democracy. If he faces evaluation and is judged unfairly, he has no way to appeal. There are 14 levels of professorship in China, and promotion is based on the number of publications produced. But this system works against those professors who wish to concentrate on research. Gu said, why are there ranks for deputy minister, undersecretary and assistant undersecretary for professorship? It is a profession. There is no need to divide it further. In Germany, they have three levels of professors, two levels of instructors and one rank for teaching assistant. Here, there is too many. It seems this design is tied to the ranking for government officials. The first-class professor is tied to vice ministerial level. Second-class professor is tied to commissioner level. Third-class professor to deputy commissioner. Fourth-class professor to division head, and so on. The stress is causing health concerns for many young teaching staff, some catching serious illnesses or dying early deaths. The system is designed by bureaucrats in the human resource department. You may be an extraordinary professor, but you can only get to the position of vice minister, and the officials are always above you. Some of them are simply there on seniority. Even though the bureaucrats make the rules, they pretend to be under the banner of educators, when it should be the professors that make the rules. Some of the administrators even have the title of professor, as if they're part of an academic department. Some of our professors do nothing but attend meetings. They meet almost every day. Some do have many meetings to attend, and some of those are useless. So you can't expect them to change. According to the Academic Career Global Corporation, 70% of college teachers in China are under 40 years of age. In 18 other countries, the average percentage is only 36%. Showing just how high the burnout rate is among teaching staff at universities. Craig Richter, SOH Network.
You are listening to Behind the Great Wall on the SOH Network. I'm Daniel Tang. The practice of feeding antibiotics to livestock has been ongoing for many years in China. The purpose is to stop the animals catching any diseases. But the overuse of antibiotics has created, well, quite a stir and health concerns. In 2010, Huang Liuyu, the director of the Institute for Disease Prevention and Control, warned, quote, "Attention should be paid to the problem of antibiotic intake via daily food consumption, because that will increase the possibility for drug-resistant bacteria developing in human bodies." Unquote. At the time, a 650-gram premature infant born in Guangzhou was born with resistance to 7 types of antibiotics, which is being blamed on the mother's daily intake of meat and eggs that contain remnants of antibiotics. This is according to the state-owned People's Daily. Rich Crankshaw will tell us more in this next story.
The abuse of antibiotics is rampant in China's animal husbandry industry, with nearly half of the 210,000 tons of antibiotics produced in China annually being deployed on animals, according to recent reports. Southern Daily reported on December 21st that chickens, ducks, eggs, fish, and meat in China are all contaminated due to widespread use of antibiotics. The paper reported that residual antibiotics in the food is also impacting humans. The push to use antibiotics was driven by the development of high-density livestock farming in China in recent years, which led to diseases. Adding more drugs to the forage eaten by the animals became the common way of addressing the disease problems and was especially notable in the aquaculture industry. With regular dose increases, bacteria become resistant to drugs. Within a decade, veterinary antibiotics have been upgraded from the basic penicillin to more powerful categories. Experts quoted in the Southern Daily report warned that consumption of food containing antibiotics would result in allergies in minor cases or toxicity in serious cases. Critically, superbacteria resistant to drugs may be produced by the long-term abuse of antibiotics, which poses a greater risk. Doctors have already encountered bacteria infections that are incurable, said the report. Rich Crankshaw, SOH Network.
On New Year's Day, plain-clothed police near Tiananmen Square kidnapped a number of petitioners in broad daylight. The petitioners had been handing out flyers appealing for justice. They were still illegally detained in the notorious black jail, Jiujingzhuang, when SOH managed to get an interview with some of the petitioners. Jiujingzhuang, for those who aren't familiar, is a black jail which is commonly used to house petitioners that have been, well, apprehended by public security in short notice. Trevor Piper with this story.
Thanks, Daniel. Li Zhongying from Lufeng County in Yunnan is a victim of forced surgery under the one-child policy. Li said she and two other petitioners from Hubei were handing out flyers at the east and west sides of the Tiananmen City Gate Tower. They were taken to the Jiujing farmstead and detained without a reason. Li said she had petitioned for many years but had gotten nowhere, adding she persists because her livelihood has been caught up in an awkward situation for a long time and she's seeking a way out of her predicament. She told Sound of Hope, "I'm in Jiujing Farmstead because my matter was already rejected by the National One-Child Policy Committee and I was issued with the notification document. Even the State Council said it is now the end. That has left us with no way out. Therefore, we handed out the material at Tiananmen. Even the army were just getting into the vehicles. Anyway, they were all wearing camouflage clothing, and so were the police. We have 3 people. At first, they wanted to detain them, but then we don't know what happened. They were also taken to the Jiujing farmstead. We only walk a path to live, a path to survive." In 1994, Li Zhongying was left unable to work after undergoing enforced surgery as part of China's one-child policy. After her husband abandoned her, she hoped the authorities would resolve her livelihood problem according to the one-child policy. However, the authorities have refused to help her. For over a decade, Li has been petitioning and trying to defend her rights, during which time she has been illegally detained on multiple occasions. She has been held in a black jail and a nursing home to try and prevent her petitioning any further. Xu Yongfeng, another Shandong petitioner, went to Beijing because she was a victim in an inheritance dispute in which the court profited by accepting a will they knew was forged. At the beginning of the new year, Xu went to the Tiananmen City Gate Tower and rushed past the alert line and was prepared to jump from the Jinshui Bridge to voice her protest. She was also kidnapped and detained in the Jiujing farmstead. She told our reporter, I went over the alert line. There were security guards and plainclothes police in the alert line, two steps, a hillock. Two plainclothes police carried me out. Now I'm in Jiujing farmstead and still cannot get out. Xu Yongfeng also described her injustice to the reporter. Owing to his completely forged divorce papers, I was bringing a lawsuit against domestic violence for divorce. All the evidence and real files were gone. All of it was forged. My mother-in-law bribed the judge. I had petitioned for almost 2 years just for an investigation on this, and until now there is still no outcome. He does not dare to undertake the investigation for me and has instead bullied me. Moreover, I also developed cancer. According to reports, on November 30th, 2011, Xiu Yongfeng and another Shandong petitioner, Yang Xiufen, had been to the West Suburb guest house in the Haidan district. They were ready to jump from the building in protest against the corruption and inaction from the authorities. The local bureaucrats stationed in Beijing promised to resolve their injustices when they returned home. However, when they returned, Yang Xiufen was punished with administrative detention for 10 days, while Xiu Yongfeng was not detained on account of her cancer. Trevor Piper, SOH Network. And now, back to Daniel.
Thank you for that, Trevor. And that brings an end to Behind the Great Wall for this week. If you'd like to listen or download our podcast, you can visit behindthegreatwall.sohnetwork.com. There you can also read our transcript, listen to previous episodes, and link to other programs on the SOH Network. Also, if you have any comments or queries, feel free to leave a message on our main website. That's Behind the Great Wall for January 12th, 2012. And I'm Daniel Tang of the SOH Network.